president of the United Church of Christ. In fact, I'm leading a revival in Henderson, North Carolina, next month. But at the same time, we evolve, and I'm still evolving. But now, as the new president and CEO of the National Newspaper Publishers Association, we're going to be writing about religion, but we're going to write about it in a way that encourages people, not divide people. I think that we've sometimes become too judgmental as a society, where we want to judge another person if they're not just like you. Or we want to judge another person because they don't worship like you. We want to judge another person because they speak a different language or they're from a different part of the world. I don't think that's right. And I believe that something that Reginald Lewis told me, and Reginald F. Lewis was the first African-American billionaire, did the largest leverage buyout in the United States. I asked him, give me one word out of the English language that determined your success. And Reggie said, that word is preparation. So I see all of what I've been through is preparing me for the task that I have before me now with the National Newspaper Publishers. James Baldwin was a close friend of mine. He said, the pen is mightier than the sword. I believe that. But we got to pick up our pens and write. We got to express ourselves on radio. We got to not only look right on TV, we got to act right. And we got to try to inspire and encourage millions of people not only to know what the right path is, but to get on that right path and to stay on that right path. And don't let some popular wind just blow you off track.
I'm Don Merrill, and I've been talking with Dr. Benjamin Chavis. Dr. Chavis was in Portland for the National Newspaper Publishers Association Conference. He was just recently named president and CEO of that organization. Dr. Chavis, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here, and I look forward to coming back to Portland soon.
That was KBOO's Don Merrill in conversation with Dr. Benjamin Chavis, recently appointed president and CEO of the National Newspaper Publishers Association. Coming up next, Cenk Soderberg speaks with Rami Almaghari, straight from Gaza. Stay tuned.
Joined on the line by Rami Almaghari, who is a journalist with International Middle East Media Center and a number of other outlets in Almaghazi refugee camp in Gaza. Rami, can you tell us the situation right now?
Right now, there is an electricity cut that has been, electricity power outage actually, which is frequent in Gaza for many years now, and it crippled and doubled and decided the Israeli continued Israeli strikes and air strikes on the region. Just about half an hour ago, or less than half an hour ago, there was a strike very loud out in the sky. We heard it very loudly here and where I live. They hit one more house in central Gaza Strip, destroying it completely and leveling it to the ground. That's the latest from the ground here. And that's the situation, which is very, very, very dangerous, risky for all the people in Gaza. Israel has not declared a real war, or has not declared a war against the Strip. But in effect, what is going on is a full-scale war, as no one seems safe. No home in the Gaza Strip seems safe, because Israel now is targeting residential homes, killing civilians inside their homes, and scenes from the ground show very atrocious actions, as people have had their bodies dismembered inside the rubble of the houses. I had the chance to see some of these scenes, one of these scenes in the town where I live. Yesterday, they destroyed the house. There was 10 people inside the house. Five of them were killed, including a young man, a young woman, mother, and their two children, as well as the man's mother, were all killed in the strike. All comes under the pretext that Israel is marketing around the world, that it is targeting the Hamas or the armed factions or the houses where Hamas and other factions members, okay, harboring in or belong to. This is sort of indiscriminate fire against the Palestinians, indiscriminate Israeli war against the Palestinians, because Israel, Israeli army has the most sophisticated army in the world, has the most sophisticated technology in the world that can differentiate between the targets. That is really a true and a very given fact about Israel as the most sophisticated army with the most sophisticated technology and the past experience, previous experiences with Israel's attacks against the Gaza Strip. Tell us one important fact that Israel used to target, pinpoint things, or pinpoint attacks, pinpoint targets, sorry, to attack pinpoint targets. People on motorcycles have been hit before by the Israeli drones and causing no harm beside, or little, very little harm beside the attack, the target. So which means that Israel has the ability to target, to attack pinpoint targets in the Gaza Strip, away from the civilians in the homes who are being slaughtered. Let me say slaughtered, not killed. That is the sort of apparent cruelty that is taking place in the Gaza Strip, with that the population here is the most, Gaza Strip is the most densely populated area around the world, according to statistics and world figures, that Gaza is said to be the most densely populated region in the globe, as it is a very tiny coastal territory with within about 365 square kilometer. That is really crazy. 1.7 million or 8 million Palestinians live in this very tiny, small territory that is besieged by the Israeli forces, that is being hit by the Israeli forces. And the people here, the civilians, are always paying the price, always pay the price for the Israeli atrocities that is taking place against them. I'm really wondering, when I see some headlines on the world news, on the American or Eastern news, that they portray the war as if it were a war between Hamas and Israel. Who is Hamas? Hamas is a very little part, is a part of the Palestinian factions, a part of the Palestinian political spectrum. Hamas is not an army. Is not an army as being portrayed by the Western media as being an army. No, it's not an army. Hamas is not an army. Hamas is a political faction. Like many other factions, there are about more than 17 or 18 factions within the Palestinian political spectrum for about 4 million Palestinians who live in Gaza and the West Bank. So this is really sort of untrue. For many wars now, the 2012, the 2009, and a previous one since 2001, Israel has been attacking Gaza frequently under the one main pretext, stopping homemade rocket fire or rocket fire from Gaza into nearby Israeli towns. What I want to say is that is a fact that the Palestinians have been living very harsh economic situation, very harsh economic hardships for the past 7-8 years. Israeli blockade is still enforced, is still in place, remains in place, with Israel embargoing or imposing embargo on imports and exports, allowing little shipments of foods and other stuff to the Gaza Strip. But this is not enough. So the life is in Gaza is completely stopped, as raw building materials have not entered the Gaza Strip for the past 8 years. And now more destruction of Palestinian facilities, Palestinian homes, Palestinian streets. If you go to the streets of Gaza, you can find big holes in the main roads of Gaza out of the F-16 jet fighters. That is really a sort of undermining of the infrastructure that is already weakened, already ill throughout the Gaza Strip. So this is a sort of, this is the fact on the ground. Gaza is an impoverished with no buildings, no construction for 8 years or 9 or 7 years now. So what kind of a life do the Palestinians live here? What kind of a life do the Palestinians live? And in the end of the day, Israel comes to say that Gaza is a sort of a country that it threatens the existence of Israel. Who threatens the existence of the other? Israel, which has the sophisticated army, the sophisticated technology, or the Gaza Strip that is impoverished and full of problems, full of hardships, full of troubles, full of psychological illness, so full of all the bad things expected by you and everyone in the world. Who is threatening the existence of the other? That is the question.
So I understand that this past weekend, Hamas offered to negotiate a ceasefire with the Israeli authorities, and the Israeli authorities responded negatively, and their response was to begin this large-scale assault. And now the Israeli envoy to the United Nations said that they are not interested in any type of ceasefire. What they want to do is to end Hamas in Gaza. I wonder if you can comment on that.
The problem lies in one important thing: addressing the root causes of the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis. That is the rhetoric that should be addressed by Israel and everybody concerned about the security and the stability of this part of the world. So ending Hamas will not end the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, because this conflict is rooted deep in history since 1948, when Israel replaced the Palestinians, forced the Palestinians out of Palestine. 700,000 Palestinians were forced out of Palestine in 1948, forcing them to refugee camps. This is a very big problem, I think, but very big and long talk. But in brief, addressing the root causes of the conflict would end the conflict, not ending a party or another. Because I would like to refer to history. And in the early 70s, Israel cracked down on the leftist Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which used to resort to armed conflict, to armed resistance against Israel in the early 1970s. And they could sort of crack down on this, but the conflict flared up in the late 1970s, in the early 80s, when the Israeli launched the Sabra and Shatila. This is a history that needs to be talked about in this moment. And then the Intifada broke out, the first Intifada, and the conflict got tense and intense until Israel and Palestinians, the Palestine Liberation Organization, which included all the Palestinian factions, the number of Palestinian factions that I had earlier mentioned in this interview, until they came to the peace process of 1993, and the situation got worse because of Israel's very reluctance towards giving the Palestinians a chance for a statehood that is based on international justice and international legitimacy, United Nations resolutions, a state side by Israel. And that is the problem for all the parties concerned with resolving the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis. And you know the failure of the United States recently to break the gap between Palestinians and Israelis. Okay, Israel is stepping up, it's accelerating its settlement activities on parts of Palestine, on parts of the occupied Palestinian territories in the West Bank and Jerusalem, which are internationally recognized as Palestinian territories. So Hamas is not a big problem. Hamas is one of the parties of the Palestinian, political parties in the Palestinian political spectrum, and there has experience, there have been experiences by Israel with Palestinian factions. They could end up, or they could crack down on some other Palestinian factions in the past, but what the situation is, the fact is that the conflict continues because of the lack of the will by Israel to bring about real peace in this part of the world for the people of Palestine, for the people of Israel, for all the peoples concerned in this part of the world. So there needs to be a will, an international will, an Israeli will, towards giving the Palestinians a chance. You know that legitimate the settlement activities are illegal according to international law. Israel is continuing them. Israel is continuing to harden the life of the Palestinians, to suffocate the Palestinians, the Palestinians' lives in the Gaza Strip or in the West Bank with a separation barrier in the West Bank that makes lives of the Palestinians very hard. The roadblocks are many in the West Bank. The dismemberment of the Palestinian towns in the West Bank. There is no real Palestinian authority. There is no real Palestinian statehood. There are no real roots for a Palestinian statehood in the future. And also, Israel is turning down all the peace efforts by all parties concerned, including and mainly by the United States, which is the main pattern for the peace process for many years now. So I want to say again that a problem doesn't lie with Hamas. It does lie with the lack of the will, towards a real peace in this part of the world that saves much blood on both sides. We are living here to live in peace. We want peace. We Palestinians want to live in peace. The Palestinian people want to live in peace, but peace that is based on justice and international legitimacy and the acknowledgement of the other and also the honoring of the human dignity for all peoples concerned in this part of the world. That's what I can say.
Wow. And you are in Al-Maghazi refugee camp there. There have been around 30 airstrikes in the last 2 days in your area alone. We have counted at least 287 throughout the Gaza Strip on just Wednesday and Thursday, so just the last 2 days. And you mentioned a family that was killed in your town there in Al-Maghazi. Where can civilians go when these bombs start falling?
When can civilians go? Civilians can go nowhere. When there is a bombing, civilians can go nowhere, Dinka. Palestinians here lack, the Palestinians in Gaza lack a real infrastructure, basic infrastructure, as I told you earlier. So we lack safe shelters underground, for example, unlike the Israelis, who already have these shelters and been directed and ordered by their government to stay safe underground. We don't have these underground safe shelters. I want to tell you something very, very important about the Gaza's life. Ridiculously, many people do not know what is Gaza. Gaza is an impoverished area. For about 8 years, no building, no construction, real construction by the people here. You know that many of the houses here are roof asbestos roofed. You can imagine asbestos roofed. So many people are vulnerable, many houses are vulnerable, even not to strikes, even to the sounds of the strikes that is very raw and very loud when they happen. The strikes, if they happen, there is a sort of a very loud voice that shake the houses which are very vulnerable and asbestos roofed. That is the situation in Gaza. Many of the houses in my town, Maghazi, are asbestos roofed. That are not protected, and we don't have any grounds or any safe shelters. We are just asking the protection and the safety only from the heavens, only from the heavens. That heavens watch everything, heavens from God to protect us all. Only we ask God to protect us all from these very crazy actions or very crazy airstrikes against densely populated neighborhoods. Even when there is a strike on a house, many houses around are being affected or damaged slightly, moderately, or even highly.
A number of these airstrikes have ended up killing whole families who were asleep in their houses, like the family there in Almaghazi. And just because it's so hard to take in the numbers, you say there's 81 people killed now. That family in Maghazi, where you live, that were killed, is a couple, Aisha and Salah Nawasra, and their two children, aged 2 and 4, Muhammad and Nidal. And you said that you you were witness to the aftermath of that attack.
I can't tell you very, very. I just saw a man being helped to a dead body of the man of the husband of the Aisha you mentioned. As a journalist, I wanted to do my work, my regular work as a journalist. I went to the place to see the people trying to help Salah, his name Salah, I remember, who was killed. From inside the rubble, they wanted to take him out. His legs appeared. It was really very horrible to see a dead body just being taken out from under the rubble. That was a very horrific scene, very terrific scene, that leaves a bad and negative impact on this, on the beholder, on the hearer.
What about the Israeli claim that they warn families before their homes are bombed?
The father, the head of this particular family, told us, as reporters, that they did not pre-warn him. They did not pre-warn the house. They struck it out of a sudden. That was the account of the father, the head of the family, who is 49-year-old Awad al-Nawasra, told the reporters that they did not warn, and also his cousin, who is living nearby, who helped rescue these family members, said the same, echoed the same, that they did not warn them. They wanted to strike them. Despite the Israeli claims that they notify the people before strike, even notifying them is not according to human rights groups, for example, they call this as a massacre against civilians. Even if they notify, and a breach of the 52 clause of the 4th Geneva Convention for the protection of civilian persons in the time of war. According to this clause, to this term, this is called a sort of a breach and violation of the 4th Geneva Convention that does not protect the civilians or does not avoid the civilians any harm. Israel does not avoid them or avert them any harm by their attacks.
I'm sure that many of our listeners are concerned about what they're hearing, and particularly since UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon failed to take any action, saying that the Palestinian factions should stop any rocket fire in order to prevent an Israeli ground invasion, and did not actually mention the Israeli.
He helps the United Nations. Ban Ki-moon helps the Israeli media warfare, helps them in their media warfare against the Palestinians in Gaza. This means that the Israelis and the Ban Ki-moon helping the Israelis to make the Palestinians kneel. Let me use this word, because I told you the conflict ends up by a real will towards peace, not by conflicts or wars. Because Palestinians who live desperately in very bad economic conditions, in very bad political conditions in the West Bank, and very bad human conditions in West Bank in Gaza, Palestinians who are being scattered everywhere in the world because of the Israeli expulsion of Palestinians for many decades, for decades now. These Palestinians can never give up, because this is a conflict that should be based on international legitimacy. There is a wish, a will by Palestinians to have their own statehood alongside Israel. So this cannot end by sort of ending a Palestinian faction from the other. I told you the example of the leftist Palestinian Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine in the 70s, when the Israelis managed to crack down on that. But other factions appeared, okay, popped out, and the conflict continued until this moment with the peace process, all the stuff that I have just mentioned to you. That is the situation. There needs to be a real will towards a real life, a change of the life of the Palestinians, making their life easier than it is now. It is very difficult for the time being. Because humanity is a power. I just wrote this on my own blog, that humanity is a power. So if the human beings believe in the essence of a humanity, believe strongly in the humanity of others, in the dignity of others, in the freedom of others, in the truth of others, okay, they can do something. They can mobilize against these attacks by their own campaigning, by writing on their blogs, by pressuring the governments in order to find a solution, to help find a solution for this part of the world, for the conflict, because you know that these peoples, these nations belong to countries who are world countries, major countries in the world. So if there is a sort of a pressure by the people who believe in humanity, there can be something moving by the governments of these nations in order to help sort out something or resolve the conflict or help resolve the conflict on basis of international legitimacy. That is the most important thing that is needed from the part of these nations who watch the news in Palestine and in this region of the world.
It sounds like just horrific what everyone is going through there in Gaza, and we are thinking about you and just hoping that you will stay safe in there in Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza. Thank you so much, Rami, for talking with us, for sharing this information and analysis. And I know that people will be interested in hearing more. We will continue to follow this issue. Rami Al-Maghari's writing can be found in several places on the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC.org, the Electronic Intifada, electronicintifada.net. Thank you so much for joining us on KBOO, and do stay safe there in Gaza.
No problem, JK. You're so welcome.
This is Cenk Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not. Tonight.
Just to note, there will be a protest this weekend, an emergency rally called All United for Free Palestine to support the people of Gaza as the bombs fall on them. Saturday, July 12th, 2014, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Pioneer Square, 701 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland, sponsored by Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights, Jewish Voice for Peace, Americans United for Palestinian Human Rights, the All-African People's Revolutionary Party, and the International Socialist Organization. That will be 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 12th at Pioneer Square. I'm Jenka Soderberg with KABU Radio.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59 a.m. Coming up at 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre. And at 10:15, Flashpoints will devote its entire program covering the massive Israeli air assault on the Gaza Strip. At 11, on The Digital Divide, host Rabia Yemin speaks with Howard Bloom about artificial intelligence, killer robots, and global warming. Thank you, KABU members, for your generous support of community radio. Those who are not yet KABU members can rectify that situation at kboo.fm. Simply click where it says Donate Today to get started.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, July 11th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We're going to be speaking today with Matthew Kelligu with the local chapter of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee a little later in the show, coming right up. The NSA spying has not been making top headlines recently because we have the gruesome genocide taking place against the Palestinian people. I believe as of this morning the death count has climbed to over 100. If this were 100 Israelis, can you imagine the hue and cry, the wailing and gnashing of teeth?